Okay. Ajivya, sustaining his life. Ekataram, one. Bhavam, entity. Yaha, who? Two, but. Anyam, another. Upajivate, resorts to. Na, not. Tasmat, from that one. Vindate, gains. Shemam, real benefit. Sorry. Jarat, from a paramour. Nari, a woman. Asati, who is unchaste. Yata, as. Translation. If one thing is actually sustaining our life, but we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? We would be like an unfaithful woman who can never achieve any actual benefit by consorting with her paramour. So you can repeat. If one thing is actually sustaining our life, but we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? We would be like an unfaithful woman who can never achieve any actual benefit by consorting with her paramour. It's interesting, the word para sometimes means transcendental, but it means other. Amour, of course, that's French, actually from the Latin, meaning love. So, actually, it means more than just love. It's not friendly love. It means something of the type of love, which I can't mention being a sannyasi. So, purport, by the servants of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, the word kshemam means actual prosperity, not merely the accumulation of money. Here, Lord Krishna boldly argues that just as a woman can never achieve actual dignity or enlightenment from an illicit lover, the residents of Vrindavan will never be happy by neglecting the real source of their prosperity and worshipping Indra instead. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the audacity that child Krishna displayed before his father and other elders should be understood as an exhibition of transcendental anger aroused when he saw his eternal devotees worshipping an insignificant demigod. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in a very short commentary, says, in this verse he speaks of the effects of not doing as he advises, and Jiva Goswami further elaborates, if we sustain our life by one means, but try to subsist, what happened? Try to subsist by another means, we gain no benefit. We are like an unchaste woman trying to derive happiness from a paramour. Instead of jarat, sometimes jaram is seen. But the meaning is the same. Speaking in this manner to his father and others is audacious, produced by anger at their inferior worship. And Sanatana Goswami pretty much says the same thing, except he adds, we should worship Govardhan because it supports the cows. We should worship the cows. And worshiping Indra is rejected. And the conclusion is that we should reject the worship of Indra. Anyway, so let's go back to the verse. Ajivyai kataram bhavam yastvam yam upajivate tasmat vindate kshemam jaranarayasati yata. Okay. So, omagana timitanda sha kananjana shalakaya chakshur unmeditam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So, today's class is about how to achieve supernatural power. I thought I'd speak about supernatural power. So it's going to be in relationship to the verse. Don't worry. I'm not going to just go off on a tangent. So here we see The residents of Vrindavan's going to worship Indra, or proposal to worship Indra, is compared to an unchaste lady. Now, this is a very much used comparison, actually all over the Vedic literatures. So let's try to understand why this comparison is used. But before that, we're going to give some examples of chaste ladies. And we're not going to give examples of unchaste ladies, because that's not a sannyasi's business. But let's talk about, you know, the chaste ladies are glorified. And then we're going to talk about what chastity is. And then we're going to talk about chastity, what chastity is for ladies and men and boys and girls and all human beings, okay? So, anyway, so there's so many nice stories about chaste ladies in the Vedic literatures. Some of them come to mind. One is the famous story of Savitri and Satyavan. I'll tell that story really quickly because it's a long story. Once upon a time, there was a king who was called the controller of horses. It's called Ashwapati in Sanskrit. And he wanted a son, and he prayed to the demigods, particularly Savitri, who was married to Lord Brahma, and she blessed him with a daughter instead. So he was thinking, I got to get her married. And to make a long story short, he couldn't find a husband for her. And so she went out herself and found someone. And his name was Satyavan. And she came back, said, I've chosen Satyavan. She hadn't been married at that particular juncture. And Narada Muni happened to be there at that particular point. And he said, he's really good. He's really qualified. But it's a bad choice. And the king asked, why is it a bad choice? And Narada Muni said, because he's supposed to die in a year from now. You know, you don't want to get married to someone who's going to die in a year. What's the use of such a marriage? But she was completely dedicated to Satyavan. Her mind was fixed on Satyavan. So she said, I'm getting married to him. And so we're talking about supernatural power. This phrase, supernatural power, is a phrase coming from Prabhupada's books about chaste women. It's not something that I made up. So what happens? She goes to him, and he's living in the forest. The reason he's living in the forest is that his father was a king, or is a king. His name was Jumatsena. And Jumatsena had been kicked out of his kingdom because he was blind, and his prime minister just, like, kicked him out. Okay. And he was living in the forest. So she went into the forest with Satyavan. They got happily married. And she was serving him very nicely, very, very chaste. And she was also counting down the days to when he was supposed to die, because she knew exactly the day he was supposed to die. So, you know, 365, 364, 363, you know, like Christmas. How many days to Christmas? I don't need my glasses. Well, maybe I do need my glasses. Anyway, so she was counting down the days, and then 3 days before he was supposed to die, she said to him, I want to go to the forest with you, and he was going to chop some firewood. And so she went for 3 days, and on the third day, he had a heart attack. And he died with his head on her lap. And so what she saw at that point was that Yamaraj, now normally Yamaraj doesn't come just for people, any ordinary Joe or Sally, or of course nowadays people don't use those names anymore. So she saw Yamaraj, and that was because of her piety. Yamaraj was directly coming, and with his noose of Varuna, he pulled the soul out of the body. The soul was little tiny, but bright as the sun. And he was walking, and she followed him. I guess Yamaraj does more than walk. He probably flies, too. But anyway, she was following him. And he said, go back, lady. you know, you're not getting him back. And she said, I have already followed you 7 steps. You know, this is a Vedic tradition. If you walk 7 steps with someone, that's a relationship. Just be careful who you walk 7 steps with. So, and so they had a discussion, and she said, I just want to talk philosophy with you. I'm not asking for him back. I just want a philosophical discussion. And so she pleased him with one philosophical question or statement after another, and he gave her different benedictions. One benediction was that her father would get her sight back, his sight back, that her father would get his kingdom back. That's another benediction. That Savitri's father, who was Ashvapati, he would have 100 sons. And so, you know, Yamaraj was getting tired of this lady after a while. He said, all right, give you benedictions, go back. And, you know, she pleased him again. She said, I just want one more benediction. And Yamaraj at this point, he was fried. And he says to her, okay, one more, but you can't have your husband back. She said, I'm not asking for my husband back. Don't worry. And she says, I want to have 100 sons by my husband. And Yamaraj said, oh my God, she tricked me. So anyway, so she was a, it's a great story. I love this story. She was able to get her husband back, and they lived for 400 years. She got the benediction that she could live for 400 years. So, I mean, other stories too. I can go down the line with these stories, like in the Markandeya Purana, you have this lady who stopped the rising of the sun because her husband happened to touch Markandeya Rishi, and her husband had leprosy, and Markandeya Rishi cursed her husband to die before the rising of the sun the next day. And so she stopped the rising of the sun, and so many pastimes occurred as a result of that by her chastity. And then there's the story of Draupadi, who was so chaste that Krishna supplied the unlimited sari for her when there was the attempt at disrobing. There's an amazing story of Sukanya and Chaivana Muni. That's an interesting story. So once upon a time, as the story goes, Sukanya was with her father, Sariyati. And her father was a king, and they were visiting the hermitage of Chaivana Muni, and Chaivana Muni could not be seen anywhere. And so he just left her to play around, and she saw two shining objects, like, and actually these objects were the eyes of Chaivana Muni, who was underground meditating. But the reason they were shining was he was looking at her. He was attracted to her. So you got to be careful if you're walking around the grounds here and you see some lady sees like two lights coming from the ground. Stay away from them. Anyway, so he was looking at her. And she just thought, you know, they're just like shiny little things. And she just took a little twig and poked at him. And so then all the king's horses and all the king's men had constipation at that point. That's from the Bhagavatam. Don't blame me for this story. And so they, you know, that's pretty painful. And so that would have been their destruction. And the king understood something or someone has offended the sage. And so by that time, the sage had come out of the earth. And he went to the sage, and the sage kept looking at the girl. You know, whatever. And then the king got the idea. Well, I guess you want to marry my daughter. But the problem was that the sage was actually quite old and wrinkly like anything. You know, basically old. And then another problem with being old is that, you know, you really have a temper. You're really intolerant. Just like, you know, I see the garden out there and I just, ah! I don't think I'm that old yet. Anyway, so you get, Prabhupada actually said that, but Prabhupada, it was just joking. Prabhupada was joking. He said he actually ascribed that his chastising his disciples was because he was an old man, but he actually wasn't, because he's completely in control of his senses. So anyway, so she gets to marry this like old duffer, you know, old sage. And she's married to him, and she stays with him, and she tolerates. Phew. I don't think I could tolerate it. Anyway, so then one day, the Ashwini Kumaras come. They're the twin physicians from the heavenly planets. They come to the sage, and they say, you know, hey, we'd like to get some soma ras. And the sage says, let's make a deal. So even there's a Vaishya tendency that the sages have, which is interesting. He said, you make me young so I can please my wife, and I'll give you the soma ras. So he does this fire sacrifice, and the Ashwini Kumaras get the soma ras. Indra gets very upset because Ashwini Kumaras are not supposed to have the soma ras, but the sage is so powerful that he's able to paralyze Indra's arm as Indra's getting ready to fire the thunderbolt. Is Indra in this story too. And then what happens is that the Ashwini Kumaras grab him and they walk into this lake. You know, I guess it's the fountain of youth that that Ponce de Leon tried to find when he went to Florida. So they walk into this lake of everlasting youth, and then they come out as beautiful young men. I mean, completely fresh, beautiful body. Pretty ecstatic, isn't it? If someone tells me where that lake is, I'm going there. So anyway, so they went into there, and she couldn't really determine which one was her husband. And then she took shelter of the Ashwini Kumaras. In other words, her chastity. This is a story, chastity. And then she took shelter of her the Ashwini Kumaras, and they said, this is your husband. And she was so happy she got a brand new, well, not brand new husband, brand new body for her husband by her chastity. It's really interesting. Of course, later on, her father came by, found her with this young man, and said, you are a rascal, basically, because you have actually done something horrible. You've given up your good husband for this young whippersnapper. Of course, he didn't use those words. And she proudly says, no, this is my husband. And so anyway, so there's so many stories about chastity. Gandhari became very powerful, right? Because she actually bound her eyes, you know, just not to be better than her husband. So see, all right, so I'll stop telling these stories because I don't want to aggravate all the ladies in class. So you may say, well, this is really chauvinistic. You know, ladies, chastity, behave yourselves, stay in the kitchen, you know, all that other nice stuff. But that's not really the point. The reason these stories are told is that it's very easy for people in that particular culture to relate to. But it's the reason they're actually told is to teach a higher lesson. Not simply to convince all the ladies to behave yourselves. You know, because sometimes people take these stories out of context and they tell their wife, well, you should be like Subhatri, or you should be like Sita Devi. Of course, unfortunately, the man, he wants a wife like Sita Devi, and he's like Ravan. You know, it's interesting. It's like called a half a hen logic. That you want the part of the hen that lays the golden egg, but you don't want the part of the hen that eats. So in other words, the man has to be like Ram too. Prabhupada actually said, as far as household life is concerned, and that's not today's topic, that if the husband and wife don't argue, the goddess of fortune is always there. In other words, there's happiness in the family. Because happiness comes, it's not necessarily goddess of fortune refers to money, but happiness actually comes when there's good, congenial, loving relationships between people. Like there was one study a number of years ago that determined where are people happiest in the world. Of course, Denmark was one of the main places, but also some of the countries you would never consider, you know, what we would call third world countries where people are living in villages and what we would consider like horrible conditions, because they were surrounded by their family members, extended family members. As Prabhupada would often say, what society, friendship, and love divinely bestowed upon man by God, right? So you know, that's happiness. So anyway, getting back to the point, you know, Ram and Sita, like that, getting back to the point is the message that's being taught is one, you know, we use the word chastity, which is really a good word, but also let's use something, a word that we can more easily relate to, which is loyalty. Loyalty. And, of course, this is brought out using the same example of a chaste, or analogy, of a chaste woman in the fourth canto in the Puranjana story, which you're all familiar with, where there's a chaste wife, Malayadvaja, who is meditating on her husband at the time of leaving the body. She's very, very chaste. And this is taken as an analogical story indicating that's the dedication a disciple has to have for the spiritual master. You know, the dedication. And therefore, when that happens in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says the super soul appears before such a person. When one is actually dedicated, and Prabhupada talks about when the spiritual master leaves the planet, one is actually dedicated to the mission of the spiritual master, then he associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. That's interesting. So that's in the Bhagavatam. However, let's take a practical, what we say, modern day example of that. Of course, the best example is my primary role model, which is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is completely chaste, let's use that word, chaste, loyal, dedicated to His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right? Oftentimes I talk about this, like how can you determine that Prabhupada was, let's say, the most dedicated disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? How do you determine that Prabhupada was the one that was specifically empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You could say, well, you could determine it by the external manifestations that, you know, Prabhupada saved the world, or Prabhupada went all over the world and got the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in every town and village according to the prediction by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But really, the point is his dedication to the order of his spiritual master, even at the risk, right, of his own life. I mean, to me, that is the epitome of chastity. No, even though in the Vedic literatures, you have women use as examples, this particular point of chastity, dedication, loyalty is applicable to everyone. And Srila Prabhupada also corroborates this in his books. He says the woman becomes chaste, you know, and a man becomes chaste too by following, and probably use the word brahmachari, but everyone's meant to be a brahmachari in that sense. Brahmachari is about, the brahmachari life is a life of chastity, because you have the statement in the Bhagavatam about what brahmachari means, what brahmachari, what gurukule vasandanta guror hitam, which is a really interesting point. Let's just concentrate on that one statement, guror hitam. The other ones, you know, brahmachari makes his place of residence, or a devotee, let's just widen that. A devotee makes his place of residence the place of the spiritual master. In other words, even if one lives in a house, because Prabhupada would often say that our grahasthas are brahmacharis too, when they're following the principles and dedicated to Krishna consciousness. So that's Brahmachari or Brahmacharini, Gurukule, Vasandanta Gurohitam. They learn to control their senses, but even more important is Gurohitam, which basically means working for the benefit of Guru. And of course, Guru's benefit is none different than the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not different. If it's different, he is a bogus guru, if that term can be used. A bogus guru. If his activity, life, and everything is different from the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, there's all these examples, and you know, even using the chaste woman in this, is not meant to be limited to one particular gender. That all of us are meant to be loyal and chaste. And you see, the gopis are the most chaste to Krishna. And they're also, you may say, they're unchaste to their husbands. But actually, their husbands are expansions of Krishna, and they never even touch their husbands. And their actual husband is Krishna, because Krishna was the one who stole their clothes and became married to them at that particular juncture. And so it's just illusory marriages. But they're so chaste. There's the whole story in the writings of the Acharyas, that of the testing the chastity of Radharani, you know, who's the most chaste lady. The most chaste lady must be able to cure Krishna's headache by bringing water in a pot that has 1,000 holes in it across the Yamuna River, walking on a bridge made of, what, Krishna's hair or something like that. So that must be the most chaste lady. And so what happened is that even Kutila, I don't think Chutila tried it, I think Kutila tried it. Kutila tried it, she fell right into the water, and someone had to rescue her from being drowned. And then Radharani was able to do that. So you see, I mean, of course, that's Radharani. She's, anyway, Adi Shakti of the Lord, Ladini Shakti of the Lord. I mean, special. Can't compare. But the point is that one becomes very powerful by being very loyal and chaste to Krishna and the spiritual master. And the example, of course, we mentioned that Prabhupada was very chaste to his spiritual master. So the example of supernatural power is Prabhupada. Prabhupada manifested supernatural power by being able to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And when Prabhupada's disciples got very dedicated to Prabhupada in certain instances, I'm not saying we're always dedicated, I wish we were, like when Prabhupada asked the devotees to do what? Produce 17 books in 2 months. They were able to have supernatural power. Actually, I was part of that group. I can't say that I had supernatural power. But at least I was able to observe how my God brothers and God sisters manifested supernatural power by their dedication like that. So this particular verse we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam is a criticism that Krishna is giving of Indra, or the worship of Indra. Why not worship those things which we have a relationship to? Why not be chaste with those things that we have a relationship to? And he's using the example that if you do that, then you will always be protected and maintained. And that's actually two of the surrendering principles mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that, of course, the first two are accept everything favorable, then what? To reject everything unfavorable. Then after that is to understand the Lord is always maintaining you, the Lord is always protecting you, and then to have, these are actually principles of chastity. It's really interesting. I just thought of that. It didn't come to my mind before. Accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. Understand the Lord is always protecting you, understand he's always maintaining you, to have no separate interests other than the interests of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and always be, this is the hardest one for me, meek and humble. Anyway, so see, these are some of the points I got from this verse and its references, and it's analogical reference to chaste ladies. So any questions or comments? Or arguments? Associate with those who don't have a separate interest from the Lord. By associating with Prabhupada through his books, associating with devotees who are advanced in devotional service and dedicated. And I remember, I'm not saying I'm advanced or dedicated, but I remember associating with Jayananda. You know Jayananda. And, you know, I was in the kitchen with him preparing for... It wasn't Ratha Yatra, it was, I think it was the Lord Chaitanya Festival that I was preparing for. And it was like 8 o'clock at night, and I was getting tired, which happens. And he was just going full steam ahead and dedicated and absorbed in serving Prabhupada. And in spite of not having so much Shastric knowledge, everybody knows that Jayananda, basically he would give the same class again and again about, you know, you got to have faith in the holy names, you got to be attached to Prabhupada, you know, basically things like that. And by that association, at least temporarily, by that association, I became humble temporarily. I became humble, you know, I just thought, wow, you're such a great devotee. And I said, this is how I should, you know, he's one of my role models in addition to Prabhupada. I think by role models, you know, so you see someone like Jayananda, you see, of course, Prabhupada, ultimately. Jayananda and other God brothers, you know, like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and others that who are sources of inspiration. Okay. I hope that wasn't a sexist class.
Oh,
song. Recognize the song. Shilo charana padma kevala bata di sama jingo charana padma kevala bata di sama padan moe savatana mate Padan Moe Savadan. Yahar Basade Pai Levavatori Ayahai. Krishna Prapte Ayahai. Krishna prapte haya hoite Guru mukha padma bhakta kiche te kore abhaya arana kore Arana Korea Bane Asa Shiguru Charane Ratte Ese Utamagate Ye Prasade Pure Sarva Asala Ye Prasade Pure Sarva Asala Chakutan Dilo Ye Jame Jame Prabhu Se Ye Vipegan Vede Prakat Se Taro Vipegan Vede Prakat Se Taro Prema bhakti aho ite avichya vinnasa yate Prema bhakti aho ite avichya vinnasa yate Vede gaya rachareta Guru Karuna Sindhu Agama Janara Bandhu Lokanath Lokera Divana Bavo Aprabhu Purodaya Dehamore Padachaya Deve atku sutri bhuvana gavo Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna prastaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta samaniti namahe namo vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta samaniti namahe namaste Saraswati Devi Gauramani Pracharine Nivasesa Sanyavadi Asyachari Satarine Namaste Devi Gauramani Pracharine Nivasesa Sanyavadi Asyachar is a charine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityana Unda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sati Gaurvata Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Ki Advaita Kana Siva Sati Dor Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Ki Advaita Kana Siva Sati Dor Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
rod. I go looking on the rod, looking on the rod. Hey. Looking on the rod, looking on the rod.
Paramahansa, Paramahacharya, Alasutena, Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivinoda, Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anantakoti, Vaishnav Vrindi Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nashidwe Dagadadha Shivasidigor Bhaktavar